Good morning. My name is Warren Shake. I have the privilege of being on staff here at the First Christian Church and very privileged to be able to bring the message here today. It's an honor. How many was outside there yesterday enjoying that 65 degree weather? Man, wasn't that great? I mean, in a few weeks, 65 is going to seem cold, but yesterday that seemed like a heat wave. Today we're going to continue on, with a story. And the title of the message, Jesus, the Son of God. So before we begin, let's open with a word of prayer that God will bless this message and that you guys will receive a blessing from it. Father God, we thank you for being an awesome God you are. Father, what is said and what is done here today, that your name will be glorified. Father, we thank you that your words never change, your message is the same day after day. But most of all, Father, we thank you for being the God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus just realized that he had a short period of time to be here on earth, and he was going back to be with his heavenly Father. So Jesus gathers his disciples together, and they go off. So now you think that this time that he would go to a place where you would see no evil, where you would see no temptation, where you would not have any temptation from the world. Instead, Jesus takes his disciples to an area about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, to an area called Caesarea Philippi. Now, this area in here, throughout the Old Testament, they used to worship the idol Baal there. And Caesar also had a temple there where they worshiped Caesar. And people from all the world now was coming to worship the god Pam. All kinds of gods was in this area. And now Jesus brings his disciples right in the heart of this pagan community and have a talk with them. Can you imagine what his disciples must have thought? Jesus, you're bringing us here? I mean, it's not the place to have a conversation. But here it is. You look around, and the only thing you're going to see is sin and all kinds of immoral activity. And here it is. Jesus now is having a talk with his disciples. And this is where our story picks up today. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Start reading in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the great prophets." These are all great men. All great men of the Bible did great things, great talkers, accomplished great things. Having your name mentioned in this group would be, man, a great thing. But then Jesus said, "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. We know where Peter stands. Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God." When Peter said that, what he's saying is, all these others are dead. There's only one living God, and that's Jesus Christ. The rest were dead. The rest were a piece of rock, a piece of stone. They was worthless. They was worthless then, and they are worthless today. Peter says, "I'm worshiping this. You are the true God." You see, it reminds us of who we have to worship. You see, one thing is clear. We can never take a poll of asking people who Jesus is. A poll is not going to tell us anything. You see, we have to understand for ourselves who Jesus is. We can't decide, let somebody else decide. We can't let our family decide. Each person has to decide who Jesus Christ is. We have to move from curiosity to commitment. Commitment is what Jesus wanted from his disciples. And that's what he wants from us. He wants commitment. You see, that's why Jesus brought him to this area when all you see is this sin. And what he's saying is, disciples, you have to make a choice. Are you going to follow the world or are you going to follow me? And that's what he's saying to us now. Now you look around, sin looks appealing. You pick up the newspapers and you see some of these advertisements. Man, it looks great. It's going to cost you. He's saying we have to make a choice. There was another time when Jesus went off to the mountain and he took his disciples. But this time he didn't take all of them. He just took three of them. It's a time to pray, a time for encouragement, a time just to be alone. We've all been there, just to go off, maybe walk in the woods. And here it is. Jesus takes his disciples again. So if you get your Bibles again, follow along in Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. Just there appeared before him was Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. The word transfigured means he was transformed. Right in front of these disciples' eyes, Jesus was transformed. He was changed. See, the disciples got a glimpse of divine glory. He was transformed. It was encouraging for them. See, that Jesus knew that his disciples was going to face some tough situations down the road. And for the disciples to see Jesus being changed right in their eyes was going to reaffirm that Jesus Christ was definitely the Son of God. There was no doubts about in their mind who Jesus was. It says his face was like the sun. His clothes became like the light. Again, this was just a small sample of what to come. Do you realize that when we get to heaven, that there's not going to be no sun, there's not going to be no moon or stars? You might realize that. You might think, man, that's going to be dark. No, get this, man. This gets great. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Being in the presence of God is a light. Jesus Christ, being in his presence, is going to light everything up. And you won't need the sun or the moon. And this is what the disciples got to see right now is just a sample of the Jesus' light. Shining bright, shining like a light. And it was going to be encouraging for them later on down. We read on, starting in verse 5. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud surrounded them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. This is the same words after Jesus was baptized. "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." And it's repeated again right here. Again, it's a reminder that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then the voice says, "Listen." This voice came down from heaven and says, "Disciples, listen." In the Greek, it is translated, "Keep on listening." It's just not a one-time thing. You see, what it's reminding us that we need to just keep on listening to the message of this Bible. We don't just read it one time and say, well, that's enough for this year. We have to keep on. See, the disciples were like we were too. They didn't quite get it. That's why he said, just keep on listening. Sometimes Jesus repeated a story over and over to them. And that's why we see some stories repeated in the Bible. Sometimes we just don't get it. It says, listen. Listen to God's message. He wants us to listen to it. You see, they got to see a glimpse of God's glory. These disciples got to see it. See what it was going to be important for them, because these disciples was going to face some hardships on down the road. And for them to look back and be reminded of what the future was going to be like in heaven, they got a glimpse of it. And then the only thing they could do is just bow down. They couldn't speak. After God spoke, the only thing they could do is just bow down and worship. They realized they was in the presence of God. You know, here's something else that's not mentioned. I imagine that the hair on the disciples' arms just raised up because they realized it was in that presence. And they bowed down. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all, get this, not part, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Why is that so important? What it reminds us of, this is not a story these disciples got together and said, man, let's write something good down. This is not a once upon a time, or here's what happened. This is the fact. These disciples were on top of this mountain. And God's glory came down. And these disciples witnessed it. It was encouraging for them, and it's encouraging for us. It's proof that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Another story in the Bible that shows that Jesus was no ordinary man is recorded in John chapter 11. It's a story of Lazarus. Now Lazarus was sick. And so Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus saying that Lazarus is sick. And they're expecting Jesus just to rush right there because they've seen Jesus do these miracles. They knew that he could heal. And Jesus gets the message. And here's what takes place. In John chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. Yet when he, meaning Jesus, heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. After Jesus heard that he was sick, he just stayed there. You probably wonder why. Jesus runs by a different time schedule than we do. But Mary and Martha knew what to do. Mary and Martha knew to get a message to Jesus. They believed in his healing power. But you see, any trial a believer faces can ultimately bring glory to God, because God can bring good out of any situation. But see, this next point is sometimes hard for us. God's timing may think it, he's not answering our prayers, or that he don't care about us. God's timing is not always the same timing as ours. He will meet our needs in his perfect schedule and purpose. Get that? It's his scheduling, not ours. His delays are not denials, but they will bring greater glory to God. Again, it's a reminder, it's not about us. It's about bringing honor to God. Then 2 days later, Jesus arrives there at Mary Martha's house. And the conversation now starts with Martha. Start reading in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. First thing Martha says, Jesus, if you'd have came when they first heard that, got that message, my brother would have still been alive. How often are we like that? We pray and we say, God, if you'd have answered my prayers when I first prayed, we wouldn't be over at the hospital. God, here's what best to do in this situation. I've been studying it, I think about it. Here's what you need to be doing. I know I've been guilty of doing that. I've had a parent in the hospital. I prayed. I said, God, why don't you answer it? Here's what you need to do. And that's what Martha was doing. She said, God, here's what you should have done. But God's got his own time schedule. And we read on with the rest of the story, starting verse 22. But I know even now, God said, you'll get whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life, he was clearly claiming he is both. He is the resurrection that means whoever believes in him will never die. Jesus represents life. And life is hope. And the story goes on. And it says, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. You notice how she answered? She didn't hesitate. She said, yes, I believe. She didn't say, maybe, you could be. She clearly believed. She's telling us how we need to answer. If somebody asks you if you're a Christian, you don't need to say, I think I am, I could be, I might be. We need to say, yes, I am. We don't need to straddle the fence. We need to walk with Christ. We need to answer with assurance of who Jesus is. The shortest verse in the Bible is two words. Jesus wept. But it tells a big story. The Greeks believed that God showed no compassion. The Greeks believed that God had no feelings. But with the words Jesus wept, what it shows is the God that we serve has compassion. The God that we serve has feelings. He cares. Two words, Jesus wept. Shows that God cares about us. Then Jesus asked to be taken to the tomb. Verse 38-44. Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said to Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out of his hands, feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off his grave clothes and let him go. Jesus was warned that there'd be a bad odor, but he still wanted to go to the tomb. And then when he gets to the tomb, he said, roll away the stone. And then he spoke. And then he said, he spoke in a loud voice. And it said, Lazarus came out. And then get this next part. He walked out. Can you imagine what the people must have been like there? Can you imagine? Wow! No other God has ever brought a dead man back to life. None other. This separates Jesus Christ from all the other gods in the world. There's only one can bring the dead back to life, and that's Jesus Christ. The others are useless. Just like Lazarus and Mary Martha, life sometimes can be messy and confusing. And sometimes you question what is actually taking place. And sometimes life can just be broken. You make plans and they don't turn out the way you want them to. But nothing here on this earth is forever. It's temporary. We're just passing through. Peter said with confidence that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. Living means life. Living means hope. Living is not dead. When God spoke on that mountain, when Jesus was transformed, it confirmed that Jesus was the Son of God. And in this story of Lazarus, we see the power over death. Representing Jesus brings life. Jesus brings hope. In a situation where everybody gave up hope, he brought hope. He brought hope then, he brings hope today. When nobody else sees any hope around, Jesus Christ brings hope. Jesus Christ brings life. Jesus asked a simple question to Martha. Do you believe? He's still asking that question today. Do you truly believe? You have a choice. What is your response going to be? But you see, believing requires action. You just can't say, I believe, and then not do anything. You have to follow through. Because if you say you believe and just sit there, nothing's going to happen. See, Jesus brought his disciples to the heart of sin in that area. There was sin every place you look, immoral activities taking place, and he says to the disciples, what are you going to do? And you ask yourself, what took place? We pick up this Bible and we read through the book of Acts. We see what happened when men was taken there, when things looked impossible, lives got changed. We look around Linton right now and we see things and we wonder, what's going to happen? What's going to take place in here? Something needs to happen. You know what's going to happen when we get up and go outside these doors and make something happen. We need to take the message of Jesus Christ outside these doors and talk to people. We have to go out. We just can't be talking to ourselves. We need to be taking the message of Jesus Christ out. See, that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. You have to make a choice. You can follow the way of the world, or you can follow me. He's still asking that question today. He wants us to make a choice. He just don't want us to believe. He wants to make a choice and then go do something about it. Is it going to be easy? No. You see, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be dirty, you're going to be messy, but it's going to be enjoyable. It's going to bring life to you and to other people when you spread the message. He's asking you right now to make a choice. Are you going to follow him? As the band plays.
Would you please stand with me? In the morning.